Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the first, hopefully not the last, Curzon podcast. I'm Sam Howlett.
I'm Helen Seymour.
Seymour. How are you, Helen?
Howlett and Seymour. That's what this would be. I'm well. We're reporting direct from Room.
Yeah, the room we're in at the moment looks very much like Room in the film.
It's so my flat.
I'm part disturbed, worried I'm not going to get out, but we have an escape plan, I think, just in case.
Yeah.
So just a little bit about ourselves. I work part-time in the Canterbury branch of the Curzon, the cinema, where we saw the film yesterday.
We did. I am trying to be a writer. That's what I do.
Okay. Great.
No so. Links to the Curzon. Apart from I very much like it as a venue, and it is my number one choice for film viewing.
Good. Okay, great. So just a bit about what we're planning to do with the podcast, really. We're going to pick one film each week and review it.
Yes,
and
we are.
And that's pretty much simple as we can get. Yeah. We might talk about a couple of other films as well. Mm-hmm. A couple of films that link with Room. And obviously the Oscar nominations came out last Thursday. So we'll talk about them because Room is actually up for quite a few.
Certainly is.
Like big awards as well. Let's get right to it, shall we?
Let's go.
Let's go. So, Helen, did you like Room?
Yes, I did. Sam, okay. Did you like Room?
That's the end of the podcast. Thank you for
listening. See, right. yeah, thought it was cracking, actually.
Okay.
It's a good film.
Yeah.
I read the book.
Right, I was going to say.
I guess we'll go into a bit more later on. So, you hadn't read the book.
I had not read the book. I had not idea what the film was about.
You hadn't seen the trailer.
Hadn't seen any poster, any kind of sort of previs material. I hadn't even read a plot, really. I knew that it was directed by Lenny Abramson, mm-hmm. who did Frank, which I loved. So that's probably the main reason. Because I saw this at the London Film Festival in November. That's quite a few months ago now.
Classy.
Before the film had any kind of word of mouth, stuff like that. So I went in completely cold. And I think, because I've seen it twice now, saw it again with you yesterday in the Curzon. I think now that the best way to see this film is to go in cold.
Agreed.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the film if you haven't seen the trailer. Because I'd actually say avoid the trailer.
Yeah, we say don't see the trailer.
Because it's kind of a film of two halves, really, isn't it? And the transition between the first half to the second half, for me, was a huge shock and a huge surprise. And I think that the film benefited from that shock and surprise. So I'd say don't see the trailer or see a poster. Well, obviously you can't avoid seeing a poster, but
just close your eyes.
Yeah, just walk
from
around.
From this moment until you get into the film.
Yeah, if you become Daredevil, just feel your way around cities.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah, so but eventually we will say, okay, now we're going to talk about the film as if you have seen the trailer.
Yes, we are.
So for the first 5-10 minutes.
We're just going to talk about kind of performances and in general
the broad
what
strokes,
we thought of
yeah.
it. So if you don't like seeing trailers or anything, you're good to listen for the first little bit. Should we talk about Brie?
Let's talk about Brie. Brie Larson. Should we do a slight overview of the plot, very loosely?
Yeah.
So it's a film set in one room. not too dissimilar from the room we're in now. It has one window, a skylight. You don't really know what this room is for mm-hmm. quite a while. Mm-hmm. It's a mother and a son. Brie Larson plays... Well, she's credited as Ma. She's given the name Joy Newsome, but in the credits she's always Ma. Yeah. I guess that's because everything's seen from the point of view of her son, Jack, played by
Jacob Tremblay.
Yes. So it's a real two-hander.
Yeah.
It's real... You know, these two are the main characters, and most of the film is just these two in this room.
Yeah.
I think, don't think we need to go any further.
No, I think that's fine.
There is a third character that comes in quite a bit in the first half. Their captor. It becomes quite clear quickly that they're captive. So, Brie Larson.
Just incredible, I think.
Outstanding performance.
Really blown away by it, by her. Reminded me a bit of Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just because in that is similar in it has two halves to it. There's before and there's after. Yeah. And you can just see... You just see the strain on Michelle Williams' face, and you can just feel it. And this is exactly the same.
Absolutely. She looks just worn out,
and
tired, and not even stressed because she's just past stress.
Yeah, she's just accepted
that this is her life. She's stuck in this room with a 5-year-old child.
Yeah.
She's been essentially tortured for 7 years now by this guy that's kidnapped. She kidnapped when she was 17. Because Brie Larson, had you heard of her before you saw this?
Not really, no.
Yeah, she was in a film called, I think it's called Short Term 5, where she's a sort of works in a foster care home.
Okay.
But she's also been in Community a couple of times.
Oh, this is I just missed that. And
really?
It's so good.
It's so good, yeah. I watched the first 5 series in, I'm sure it was about a month.
See, I just know if I got my hands on it, I'd do the same.
It'd be dangerous.
Yeah.
It'd be very dangerous, I think, for our social lives. So she's a very, very attractive woman. And in this, they really tone that down in a sort of, they don't like make her grotesque or anything, but they make her hair's very flat and greasy. Her skin's very pale.
You
and
see her pasty. Pores.
Yeah, all her imperfections. Mm-hmm. It's a very subtle makeup work for both of them, actually, because... Mm. Obviously, he's a child that's never left this room and has never seen sunlight, effectively. And he's very pale, but it's not ridiculous. It's not over the top.
No.
It's something that I didn't really notice until seeing it again yesterday.
Hmm.
The sort of... Their skin pigment are very pale, but not like vampires or something where it could have been.
Yeah. The way she talks to Jack is just so believable. Their relationship is just... You believe it straight from the off.
Yeah, certainly. And there was a lot of stuff about... that they would they'd meet a couple of times before.
Yeah.
And they got along really well. Like they played I remember I saw an interview with her where she talked about playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with him when they first met and playing Lego and stuff. And yeah, there's just certain scenes where you think that almost doesn't look like it's been filmed, was supposed to be filmed. Like it's just two people talking to each other, not necessarily acting.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely makes the film what it is. I think their relationship.
Completely agree. Also, they made a lot of the toys together that become the actual pops in
room. Egg snake.
Yeah, snake.
The maze, the toilet roll maze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's already, the detail in room is absolutely incredible. Yeah. Because it's such a small space, but there's little eyes on the plug that a child has drawn.
Yeah, that's true, actually. There's nice little subtleties. Yeah. Like a child, because it is obviously a completely extreme alien situation, but you recognise a lot of it, I guess, from your own childhood in a way. That's sort of like the drawing, the eyes on the plug, just things that children do. And even in a situation like this, he's still a child that has fun and does silly things, like the playing with the car, like when the car's attacking him. That was a really nice little moment that kids do in any situation.
I think that's the sort of what's so great about it, because... What's true is that to Jack, that is just a normal, happy childhood.
Yeah, that's life.
He doesn't know anything different. He has a really loving mum. She's makes sure that they do exercise. She looks after him
in terms of
health.
Yeah. The track. This one. I meant this one.
No, that one. Yeah.
I just meant this one. Yeah.
So to him, everything's great. Why wouldn't it be?
And that's sold really well.
So well.
Yeah. 100% convinced by their relationship. Should we talk about Jacob Tremblay?
Yeah.
Who's just the most incredible child actor I think I've ever seen. And
I agree.
That's a phrase that people use a lot. Oh, Child Act was amazing. But genuinely here, it's one of the best Child Act performances I've ever seen. It's absolutely outstanding.
You just completely believe him to be Jack. And...
Yeah, someone described him as like a little fireball, which is perfect because he is. And he shouts and screams, but he's so like confident and just, you can't look away from him when he's doing something on screen.
Yeah. And he looks so comfortable in the room.
Yeah.
It's so real. The way he moves around.
Jumping on the furniture. Of what little furniture there is. Yeah.
On the bed, in the bath. Yeah.
And he's always in his underwear.
Yeah.
Like a kid.
Like a child.
Yeah, it looks like he does live there. Which is slightly worrying.
So really, and the two of them together, it's just it's almost worth seeing just to see them on screen together.
That's absolutely true. I mean, I think at its heart, it's a film about a mother-son relationship, really.
Absolutely.
More than anything else. And I was completely sold. I think, for me, it was an incredibly moving film.
Mm.
I cried a couple of times, actually, I have to admit. And I wouldn't have nearly had that reaction to it if they weren't so good together and so convincing as a mother and son.
You have to believe them, otherwise it doesn't work.
I think as well, she's really well cast in terms of her age.
Yeah.
Because, did you see Joy recently with Jennifer Lawrence?
No.
Which is a film I liked, but a lot of people criticised it for she's way too young to be in that role.
Okay.
She plays like a divorced mother with kids.
Oh.
And she's about 24.
Yeah.
And looks 24. Whereas here you have, finally, an actress playing her actual age, which is rarely done in Hollywood now.
Exactly. And like we said, she looks really like a woman who's been in a room for 7 years.
But still looks like a young 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way she acts as well, she acts like she is a good mother given the circumstances, but they call it her gone days, where she just sort of spends the whole day in bed.
Mm.
And I guess that's because she was taken from the world she knew when she was 17. So she still acts like a 17-year-old sometimes.
Yeah, and that you can definitely see that.
When she has her temper, when she loses her temper with Jack. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's nominated for Best Actress for the Oscars this year.
I think she should win.
She's up against Cate Blanchett for Carol, Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years, and Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn.
Yeah, she'll get that easy.
She won the Golden Globes. I think she's absolutely the favourite at this stage. And I can't see anyone else beating her. She obviously deserves to win as well, 100%. I can't see anyone else getting it this year, which is really nice. The strange thing about the film, though, is that it's the lowest grossing Best Picture nominee for about 25 years, which is quite...
I wonder what that means in the real world.
So, long term, sorry. Well, I think from working in the cinema, because The Revenant's been pretty much sold out nearly every showing.
Okay, yeah.
And partly it's up against The Revenant, which the power of Leonardo DiCaprio shines through once again. And when people come up and I say, oh, no, sorry, Revenant's sold out, they say, oh, what's that? What else is on? And I'll go, oh, Room's out, which is an amazing film. And I describe the plot to them. And the moment you mention the words kidnapped or rape or something like that, they go, oh, no. So I think it's just the subject matter is so off-putting for a lot of people. Despite the fact it's not... I mean, it's quite emotionally tough, but you don't see anything.
Well, this is something that Mark Kermode talked about in his review of Room, that the first time he watched it, he was just so worried about what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And he loved it. He gave it
five stars, didn't he, in The Guardian? Yeah.
He said that what's so great about it is that you don't see
anything,
that side of things, and it doesn't fetishize. No,
it could have easily done that,
The whole idea of a woman being captive.
Yeah.
You don't see that at all.
And when things are happening, you know things are happening. But
only from the sound.
Yeah, exactly. And Jack, the whole film is completely from the point of view of Jack.
Mm.
And he even has a voiceover.
Mm.
So it's you'll see everything sort of through his eyes. And a child wouldn't associate what's going on outside the wardrobe he's put in when old Nick comes to the room.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know what that is. And so there's sort of an assumption from the director that we know.
Yeah.
But we don't need to see it, which I think's really a smart move.
And you only see her being a tired mum.
Exactly.
You don't see her in
any... You don't see her be tortured or abused. Well, kind of. There is a little bit of a scuffle, yeah. but nothing too extreme.
So it's not... Because I think it's been put down as like a drama thriller as well, which I don't think helps. Because
no, I
when
think
you
see quite
thriller and kidnap, you think it's going to be like, oh my
well,
God,
usually those things are sort of from the point of view of the police as well.
Yeah.
And it's all about the hunt to find her, whereas this is not. Yeah. This is all her and the kid. Because you've read the book, you were saying the book goes a bit darker.
Yeah. So, in as much as I think it's brilliant that they don't. Make it a thriller that's looking at her being captive and makes it uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
There are some key, they're not even key moments actually, but they're just moments in the book that are left out of the film.
Okay.
Which I think is a shame.
Okay.
And I think the film is poorer for not having them in. There's things that are alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the rug in room. There's a big stain on it.
Right.
Which I only noticed because I knew.
You read the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, I don't think I'll say because maybe you want to read the book, but that is explained in the book. And it's like there's a dark reason why.
Okay.
There's a stain on the rug. Again, the book is all from Jack's point of view, and it's...
Is it first-person narration?
It's first-person. So, I have the book here.
Love knows no boundaries is
that's,
the tagline.
That's on the book. It's not a great tagline, is it?
That doesn't really explain the film at all.
So, the book starts with, today I'm five. I was four last night, going to sleep in wardrobe. But when I wake up in bed, in the dark, I'm changed to five. Abracadabra. So... It's very much his,
mm-hmm.
it's all from his perspective. But there are things that his mum tells him that we, as an older reader, can make sense of.
Okay, so there is still this kind of assumption that you'll understand, even
though
it's not said.
Yeah.
Which is, so there's a nice sort of restraint.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's left out. There's a particular bit that I want to talk about, but...
We'll talk about that a bit later on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to say another thing that... did the film to you kind of feel a bit like a fairy tale in a bizarre way?
Yeah, other people have said that
I
as
kind
well.
Of got that vibe,
yeah.
The fact, because like fairy tales are very often very dark.
Yeah,
like
Grimm.
Grandmother's
Grimm.
Been eaten,
yeah.
witches being burned alive. But
yeah.
they're still told through a child's eyes, essentially. And the same thing with this, where it's an incredibly dark subject matter that's got this kind of light to it, because it's through a child's eyes and in the eyes of innocence. And he sort of... You know, kind of, they use Alice in Wonderland in the film, in the book as well, maybe, as a kind of sort of a mirror to their situation where she's fallen down the rabbit hole. And I guess Jack, too, we'll talk about it a bit later on, that he goes on a sort of, almost for him it's an adventure.
Yeah.
So it is like a fairy tale for him.
Like a Brothers Grimm fairy tale.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it's been nominated for Best Film. I don't think it will win because it's up against Spotlight, which is the favourite. Which we'll probably review in a couple of weeks. It does look very good. I haven't seen it yet.
Very good, yeah.
And The Revenant as well is potentially going to win, which I might talk about if we... Because we did say that we're only going to do one film a week, but The Revenant came out on Friday as well.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll discuss it a little bit at the
end. I
haven't
seen it, but I can pretend
yeah.
that I've seen it.
You're saying, no, it's terrible. I hate it. I hate Leonardo DiCaprio. Also, the director's nominated for Best Director, which is that was quite a surprise. Lenny Abramson has been nominated.
Oh, that's good.
It's very, yeah, it's funny because it's not really, because when you see something like Mad Max Fury Road or The Revenant, both films have their directors nominated. And you can really think, yes, that's a proper sort of director's film. You can see their style. It's very eclectic. Whereas this is quite conventional filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the subject matter deserves convention. If he was going completely stylized, that would not serve the subject matter very well.
Yeah, and I think because there's so many different ways you could go with this subject matter,
yeah.
the fact that he just kept it conventional
yeah.
is actually...
Showed some restraint.
Yeah.
Yeah, really helped. Because I'd heard that the book was one of these unfilmable books. Did you get that impression from reading it? Or could...
I was really surprised they were going to make it into the film, just because the reveal is much slower in the book, because it's all from a five-year-old's
So it takes quite a while for you to realise what the situation
is. Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas in the film, you get it from the first scene.
From the first, yeah.
That they're in a room. room that's you don't even get that from.
I guess that's quite hard to convey in the in a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is how is the is it a good book? Do you think?
Yeah, it's one of the best books I've ever read.
Wow. Okay. She Emma genuinely. Emma Donoghue. She adapted it.
Yeah.
She did the screenplay. She did a very good job in adapting her own work because that sometimes doesn't work too well.
Because you're too close to you're it.
Too close to it, yeah. You want to put everything in, which doesn't work. I mean, obviously she's left things out, so she has shown some awareness.
That... I think she was a bit... I think she left a little bit too much out.
Okay.
But again, we can talk about... Shall we say if you've seen the trailer?
Yeah, so...
So we'll say the big thing.
So if you haven't seen the trailer and don't want to, stop now.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay.
They get out.
They escape.
Woo!
I've been holding that one in for a while.
I know.
I could not believe it when I first saw it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I generally thought, because the film's called Room, I thought it was going to be these kind of, not experimental, but a kind of... That's its selling point, that it's all set in one room. And because I like, you know, kind of like Reservoir Dogs, which
is
pretty much all set in this warehouse.
Yeah.
Or there's a film called Exam, which is all set in one room.
Okay.
So I was kind of thinking, oh, it's going to be something like that, where it's all about how interesting that they can set a film in one room. And then, so the escape plan happens where Jack goes first in the truck. He jumps out.
So what did you think when she suggests, because she originally suggests,
well, the first plan where he pretends to be sick.
Yeah.
So this is how they try to escape from the room. They try to trick their captor into thinking that Jack is sick and needs to go to hospital. And the plan is then to give the doctor a note. And then that doesn't pan out.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, there's going to be a couple of attempts. We're going to see quite a few. The rest of the film, this middle part of the film is going to be attempt after attempt, failed attempt. And I did sort of think, oh, not really sure how much I want to see this.
Mm.
You know, just... things where you know they're not going to work and it's just a bit of a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, here we go. And then when he plays dead and Nick takes him and he's in the truck, I was like... even then I was like, wow, this is completely not what I was thinking this film would be, that they get out, he's out. And then when he runs off and old Nick grabs him, I thought, oh yeah, okay, so I'm right, he's going back. But no, he lets him go because he sort of, I guess he panics when this other guy and has this dog. I was like, and then the police turn up, I was like, wow, okay, right. And then they find the house, there's police sirens there, and Jack is in the car and he's banging, he's going, ma, and it's quite a while. And I was really upset. Like, even when I saw it again yesterday and I knew what happened, but I was still like, this is really horrible. Like, just because I thought, oh god, old Nick has gone back and killed her and run off or something like that. And I was like, I can't deal with this. This
that's
is horrible. That's not what happened. She eventually emerges.
Yeah.
And it's fine. But.
And then there's a whole next bit of the film.
One of the most interesting lines in the film is when they're in the police car, they're safe, they've escaped. He says to her, I want to go to bed. And she says, yeah, we'll go to bed in a bit. And he says, no, I want to go to bed in room. That was the most interesting point, where I was like, this is something you never see.
Absolutely.
And I think the second half is the better film. Thought about Silence of the Lambs, where Catherine is trapped in the well, the sort of Buffalo Bill's pit, and she escapes and it's fine. But I thought, no, there is this thing of sort of, not survivor's guilt, but a kind of, they're going to be traumatised.
Well, it's that thing of, a traumatic experience can end, but it still lives in your head.
Exactly, yeah. And this film really shows it more than any film I think I've ever seen. The sort of the burden of trauma.
But also how mundane it is. Like,
yeah.
In terms of they escape, but it's not like, if you think about something like Captain Phillips, yeah. Where he's, towards the end of that film, he's trapped.
Yeah.
And he gets out. And that's a huge thing, like, there's sirens going off, like the music, yeah. There's blood, there's like...
Yeah.
And then he's out and that's kind of the end of the film. You do see a bit of his initial shock. And
yeah, when he's shaking and yeah. It's not my blood, that scene. Yeah. Yeah.
But basically that's the end of the film. He's
and most out. Films and most films yeah. That involve some sort of kidnapping or someone trapped by a villain, you know, it's usually the villain's killed or taken into custody, people escape, happy ending, the end of the film. And I've never seen, very rarely, a film that shows how painful the aftermath of that can be. And there's one bit in particular where she's just lying on the sofa and looks just completely bored.
Mm.
And is, you know, she's thinking, what am I going to do with my life now?
Of course.
What am I doing? How can I move on, kind of thing. And Jack is still, I want to go back to room because that is his home. That's, it's like when any child moves at the age of 5. Though I want to go back to my old home.
Yeah, and in Room, here. It's just him and Mar. Yeah. And now he's got other people that he needs grandma. To deal with.
Yeah.
It, in a way, it reminds me a bit of Boyhood.
Yeah.
Just in terms yeah. of Boyhood is about, life is just moment and then moment yeah, and then moment. Absolutely. And stuff happens, but yeah. It's just, and it is a bit like that in this because it's kind of like life... A lot of the time it's just moving from one room to another room. Yeah. Like, and in that situation, a huge trauma has happened.
Yeah.
But the big hooray, we're safe, is just being in another room.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And which I thought was really clever.
Yeah. This is the cleverest part of the film, I think.
Yeah.
In that their life, I mean, it's different, but she's not happy. She said, I should be happy, I should be thrilled, but I'm not. And the sort of the fact that everyone expects her to be is more of a burden for her because then she just feels guilty for not feeling happy and not feeling grateful for being out alive.
Tim Robey or Robbie in The Telegraph said that it could be seen as a metaphor for depression or something, yeah. Which I thought... Well,
sort of being, feeling of being trapped.
Yeah, yeah, but in the idea of... And also everyone else, like her mother, Jack's grandmother, is kind of like... You were back home. Like,
yeah, you should be happy. There's nothing to be
yeah,
nothing to be
sad. Yeah, but in her well. Head,
she can't
there's
escape this
chaos
feeling. Yeah.
Happening. I don't think the film is a metaphor for depression.
No.
But
I think it shows depression.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it shows yeah. it in a really real way of just
yeah.
everything looks fine.
But
inside,
on the inside
it's
she's
not.
Still in room.
Yeah.
And yeah. I thought, what did you think of the, the supporting characters in the film. So,
yeah, so
Joan Allen as her mother, the grandma. Mm-hmm.
And William H. Macy
as her dad. And
he plays Leo.
I think it's Tom McCamus, I think his okay. name is. But yeah, Leo. How are they for you? Were they... Because the film essentially is these Mart and Jack. Did you
yeah.
feel like they... Not intruding, but a little bit. Like you didn't really want to see them. You just wanted to concentrate on Mart and Jack at all.
Well, I was... really interested in how her parents... I was interested in her parents' reaction to her being back.
Yes.
I thought William H. Macy's...
He's got a particularly interesting
yeah.
development, actually.
He's not in it for very long.
No,
but he... That,
his last scene is...
Yeah.
That, for me, again, was something I didn't expect. And I was, that's a really interesting little moment. And
which I don't think we should talk about.
No, because that's a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Let's refrain from that one, but...
But that's... I enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it... And when it's the mum and Ma and Jack, so the grandma...
Yeah.
...in the house, that I thought you really could see how she kind of stopped and she was 17 again.
Because
there's a bit where she's on the sofa and she's like, Ma!
Yeah. And then she has a sort of... Not a tantrum, but...
Yeah.
They have this sort of a mother-daughter squabble.
Yeah.
Which, happens for 17-year-olds all the time.
Yeah.
And her room, her bedroom, is exactly the same. There's a White Stripes poster and pictures of her as a cheerleader, or a netball player, sorry.
Yeah.
And sort of photo albums and for, you know, a typical teenage girl's room, which she's now back in. So for her, she's back to being 17, but there is still this child in her life that she needs to look after.
So she can't avoid, like, that's the best thing that's happened.
Yeah.
But he's the connection between her and old Nick.
Exactly,
as well.
That. A physical connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a great bit where she's looking at the photos and she's telling Jack about who her friends are.
What happened to these?
Yeah.
Nothing. They live their lives.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And it's just shows that perspective of depression where it's just like,
why me?
Well,
kind
got,
of thing.
Yeah. And kind of like, well, I got out and now I'm just here now.
And I'm back here, yeah. Back where you started. Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
The main thing that was different from the book for me was the escape bit.
Mm-hmm.
The escape bit's a lot darker in the book.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about this. So if you're reading the book, don't listen for 2 minutes. So she pretends that Jack's sick.
Right.
That's all the same with the hot cloth and the fever.
The vomit.
Yeah, the vomit. Yeah, that's all the same. It's horrible. But then she makes him not wash.
Right, okay.
So in the film...
They bath, have a bath every night.
His hair's all clean again when he's acting dead. In this one, there's more sick.
Okay.
Throughout the day, because she's like, we need to pretend that it's got to be like...
Right.
You're dead.
Yeah.
And
he's going to have to smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smell like a corpse.
So that's really dark, and that wasn't in the film at all, which I did miss.
Okay.
Just because I think it would have been good to see the absolute lengths
that she's going through to get out of here.
Yeah. And I think it would have maybe been a bit more believable.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about how believable it was that he didn't look.
I thought that a bit.
Did you?
Seeing it again, especially. There's a couple of bits in seeing it a second time that I thought, that's not 100%. Like, him just saying, okay, I won't look at him.
Mm.
Or, because she says, promise me you'll take him where there's trees, like, far away. I thought, I don't think old Nick would care.
Mm.
Unless, I don't know, unless he's sort of in a weird way in love with her by this point.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that, but I thought he would just do something just quick. And, as well, if I saw someone carrying a rolled up rug and putting it in the back of their open truck, I would think, well, that's a body.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Yeah, I mean, obviously it has to happen that way.
Yeah.
And also I thought the way that he sort of... The police work out where the house is because he said, oh, the turns. I thought,
that's a little bit
far.
Yeah, but I even thought that in the book. It's exactly the same in the book.
Yeah.
I thought, okay,
I mean, it's not a major problem at all.
No?
It's just a slight little niggle, I thought. That could have been maybe handled slightly better.
Yeah, because in the book as well, he's in the rug for a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas in the film, she's like quickly rolls him up when he's getting through the door.
Yeah.
And I thought that was all too quick.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah. I guess there is an element of time as well.
Of course.
In these things, yeah. Do you think with the whole make it darker thing, would you have, because I think it's a 15 certificate, would you have gone so far as to make it an 18, do you think, just to give it that, the level of darkness that it maybe deserves? Because it is a horrible subject matter that is actually done quite, not lightly, but lighter than you expect.
I think I maybe would.
Okay.
I wouldn't want any more, I wouldn't want to see any...
See anything
of
physical,
the,
yeah.
Of the sort of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was handled really well.
Yeah.
They don't give old Nick a lot of screen time, which I think is great.
Absolutely.
Like,
that's what I was thinking.
He shouldn't
as well. He's
get
often
that.
Seen from an obscured view.
Yeah. And it's not that thing of like, oh, the evil man with the woman in the shed.
Just,
like,
just
it's
goes,
not that at all.
But
he's
a character.
Yeah. I would have gone
dark,
especially talking about a bit about, because in the book it's revealed that.
Should we go completely spoiler now?
Yeah, just
okay.
Spoiler.
So if you haven't seen the film,
haven't
read the book, you can stop listening now and then come back and just see what we said about the ending.
Yeah.
And sort of third act developments.
Yeah. So she's had a stillbirth before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is quite a
changes the film a lot. If
doesn't
that,
it?
Yeah. In the room she had a stillbirth.
Yeah, which is what the rug stain is.
Oh, God.
I know.
Wow. Okay. And you said yesterday as well, when they get out, they go to an apartment instead of going back home.
Yeah, so they go to the hospital, mm-hmm. And then she stays in the hospital for a lot longer, and there's Jack gets a cold, and there's a lot more about how he's not his...
They touch on that a bit, they make him wear a mask and say, oh, he can't be near the dog, and
he has to wear sunscreen. Yeah, it's done very quickly.
Yeah, it's just dropped in.
And his balance is all off, so he can't walk properly because he can't perceive space.
Oh, that's really
interesting. Which I would have liked to have seen more of in the film. Yeah, that would have been a bit nicer.
I mean, there is the one bit where he can't walk down the stairs properly.
But it's done so
quick. It's just literally,
and then the next scene he can go up the stairs.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to see more of that.
Okay. Okay. So just talking about then sort of the way the film progresses.
Mm-hmm.
So when she attempts to kill herself, does that happens in the book, I assume?
Yeah, a different way, but
See, I kind of... not liked it, but it was nice to have him away from her for a while, I thought.
Yes.
That really serves the film, because there's all these nice moments between Jack and Leo and the grandma.
Yeah.
Which were little moments. When he first meets the dog, was a really nice little scene. And when the grandma cuts his hair.
Lovely scene.
To give his mother his strong.
Yeah.
I also, both times I've seen it, I really liked the scene where Jack's on top of the stairs and Leo's like... Who am I going to talk to? Sort of just pretending he's not there. Who am I going to have breakfast with? And just has breakfast with him for the first time. Because Leo's character, compared with William H. Macy's character, is an interesting dynamic.
It's just the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Should we talk about William H. Macy?
Yeah. So he can't look at Jack. He can't acknowledge that this boy exists because he's the complete reminder of what he let happen, I said, for him.
Mm.
It's a sort of guilt. It's just a reminder of what happened to his daughter for 7 years. And this is the result of it, and he can't accept that. Which is completely believable.
So believable. Yeah.
And he leaves.
And he just can't... You can see in every scene he's just looking. He can't make eye contact. And it's an amazing 5 minutes of performance. But it's so good.
But even when we first meet him, there's this kind of anger. Like, he's angry about the press, about the lawyers. Oh, he comes in, oh, bloody lawyers doing all this. And so he's not... Leo obviously isn't her dad and is slightly removed from the situation, but he's...
So to him, Jack's just a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But William H. Macy was... And he never comes back, which was good. Because I was worried he'd turn up at the end and it'd hug and it would be, oh, I'm sorry.
I accept you. Yeah.
Nope, never comes back into it. Is that the same in the book?
That's a good question.
Okay.
I can't remember now. He definitely can't look at Jack. I think maybe it's just left that he doesn't come to visit very often.
Okay. So I kind of like it that he never comes back again.
I think that is what would happen.
And it's interesting that they are divorced as well.
Yeah.
That was quite a nice little thing that's really... Because I think couples, when they lose a child, often divorce because they just remind each other of the child.
Mm.
So that was a nice little moment. Okay, so we've pretty much solidly covered that.
Is that everything?
I think so. Is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, what do you think of the voiceover? There's a voiceover that comes in every now and again.
Usually I don't like voiceover.
I didn't like it, did you?
Did you not?
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Okay.
Because the way he describes things, like the fact that it's called Room rather than The Room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there is another film called The Room. So that's partly why, but just the sort of child speak. He calls things Room instead of The Room. I sleep in wardrobe instead of I sleep in the wardrobe. I thought those were really nice touches. And I think it was a really nice way to, sort of form the film into a sort of fairy tale type story. And also just a good way of exposition, of getting across the situation quickly. Because I think it will work in the book, the sort of slow build. But I think in this, a 2-hour film, you want to get there quicker.
For sure.
And I think the voiceover helps that a lot.
Okay.
Generally, voiceovers I'm not a fan of.
Mm.
I think something like Joy has a voiceover that is quite annoying.
Okay.
So you're not a fan of the voiceover?
Well, I think, again, I think this is actually a film for people who... I think it works best if you haven't read the book.
Yeah,
because when he did the voiceover, I was like, well, he's reading from the book.
Yeah. That is funny in... book adaptations that the voiceover is just the sort of narrator
bits
from the book. That is a bit funny, yeah.
So it kind of took me out of it a bit.
Yeah, okay. I love it that Jack is sitting there with this copy of the book.
Yeah.
Love knows no boundaries. So
what a tagline.
What would you give the film then if you're gonna, so should we do a star rating system? Do you wanna attempt?
Yeah, stars. I'm gonna give it 4 out of 5.
Give it 4 out of 5. I'm gonna go 5, I think.
Go for it.
I'm gonna be brave on our first. I mean, it'd probably be nicer our first one for us to have a bit more debate, but we've both just said we liked it. yeah, I think I'd give it 5 because even on seeing it again, there's just this really just powerful emotional reaction I had to it both times, and films don't normally do that. I think The Revenant is an amazing film in terms of spectacle and as almost an art film and the way it looks and the sort of intensity. But this film for me was a real, I mean, our manager at the Curls and Katie just said it tore her apart room.
It's and incredible really, that it does that with no high drama.
Yeah, exactly. It's not particularly sentimental or overtly, I'd never felt like I was being manipulated by the film. Like sometimes you do with these kind of
That's such a good point.
I never thought that it was trying to make me cry.
That's such a good point.
It just was all very natural, I thought. And I guess with this story, it's almost unavoidable, but yeah, there wasn't, I can't really fault it on much. So I think I have to give it 5, yeah.
Go for it.
So, there we go. That's the end of the first Curzon podcast. Thank you very much for listening. So it's goodbye from Helen.
Goodbye!
Goodbye, and it's goodbye from me. Next week we'll probably be reviewing The Big Short, the Christian Bale, Steve Carell and Brad Pitt film, which is the major film out next week at the Curzon.
Sure thing.
So we'll be back here in room next week. Thank you for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.